We're going to talk now about some nuts and bolts approaches to getting your calling, your church known. Essentially, what you want to do is make sure people know what you're doing. You want it to be a word-of-mouth engine that drives the new church. You don't want to be spending lots of money to just spend on ads or spend on internet ads and all of that stuff, because that is an expense that goes out of your budget quickly. So instead, you want to make your operating system a word-of-mouth operating system. Let me talk about how the word of God spread early on, how the early church word spread. Well, first of all, it was a very powerful, engaging story. And it's a truth. A perfect God who became man, lived on this earth, even born of a virgin, lived on this earth, served God in perfect obedience, went to a cross, an innocent man and God was put to death, that all of our sin is placed at the cross. This Jesus rose from the dead so that our biggest problems of life, sin, and death through the resurrection are now dealt with. That's an engaging story. And now we are redeemed to live forever differently than before. And the story of the Bible, the story of the gospel, is the story of love, the story of salvation, the story of transformation. That's a great story. It embodies a reality. And we want to share this story. And this story is so remarkable that people will tell their friends. We see that in Acts 13, verse 48. As the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, as many who were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spread abroad throughout all the region. Notice the word of mouth. As the Gentiles heard this, they were happy. They were glad. It made them happy. You mean death is defeated? My sin is covered? And what did they do? They glorified the communication, the word of God to them. And if they had that spark in them, they believed. Now, here's the reality, is not everyone will believe the word of mouth campaign about you, the church, about God, or anything like that. But this Acts 13, verse 48 is a beautiful way to see how the word of mouth spreads and built the early church. And the same principles will help your church spread just the same. Let's talk about those times that word of mouth spreads in a church planter's life. Well, first thing to know about word of mouth is to be transparent. In your life in general, your walk in general. So if you sense the calling, start telling people that you're sensing the call to plant a church or into ministry. Share it. Let people talk about it. Well, I don't want them to talk about it. I don't know. Hey, it's okay. Talk about them. If people cannot talk about what's happening in your life that are close to you, and you feel embarrassed about that, to be a church planter might not be your calling. Then as you're developing a vision for what the church is going to look like, share that. Let it go on word of mouth. Again, not in a proud way, not in a vain way, not in a way that makes you look better than anybody else, but in a transparent way. Then as you're recruiting leaders, be promotional. Share how that's going. Ask leaders that you recruit if they know someone that might be interested in a new church. Have your leaders write down the people they think that might be interested, and maybe visit them with your leaders. When you develop small groups, have small group leaders share what's happening. Develop a word-of-mouth transparency leadership style all through your church. Then when you gather, see those things in your gatherings that can be shared, those stories. Get people from your congregation or new church up there to share those remarkable things of the work of God. And then when you're building of the church, have your building of the church be around the word of mouth style of promotion. Now let's talk about making known your calling. Let's go deeper on that. So if you sense the calling into ministry, who do you share that with? Share it with your mentor, the pastor that's helping you. Share it right away. Now, some of you have pastors who may be threatened if you say you might want to plant a church. It's okay, though. Be careful about that, but still say, you know, someday my dream is to plant a church. I sense that calling. Someday will help maybe disarm that pastor at first if that pastor was worried about being threatened about you. But you still want to be transparent and be very careful when you're transparent to be the same person to everyone, even the people that are harder to be the same person to. Because you don't want to tell one person and then it gets back through the word of mouth chain. Oh, you never told me. Why didn't you tell me? You don't want to live like that. You just want to be the same person to everyone. Your family. You'd be surprised how your family can share with others your calling, and that sets up the beginning of a very powerful word of mouth place. Your friends, your church. Now, going back to your church and pastor, again, you have to be very sensitive to that, but there is a way I believe that most of you can communicate to your pastor. Maybe it's a daughter church and your pastor helps you get started. In a lot of ways, this is that sticky part, because a lot of times churches are happy where they are and they don't necessarily want to plant another church. And then you are called to do it. It's like the church is pregnant with planting a daughter church and you're sensing that call. But there is some dicey waters to go through, but transparency, care, generosity, love, all of those things are important, even when you make known your calling. Your acquaintances, after you've shared it with your friends and your pastor and your mentor, if you do social media, share it there. You know, I'm thinking about planting a church. I'm studying to possibly be a church planter. But even when you're doing that, be very humble. And you're prospecting. As you're getting to know people in your community, you're going to share that, you know, I'm thinking down the road to plant a church. You know, even do it that way. That's what I've learned, is if you come into an area or you're talking to your pastor, you know, someday I'd like to plant a new church. What do you think about that? And at first, if it's someday, the pastor and other people will be like, oh, that's a possibility. I could see you could do that someday. And then you just keep talking about it. You see, all of those things are better than just sort of like surprising everybody at the last minute here. And you know what else it does? It sort of vets your own motivation. If you can't talk about it, you're probably not ready to even articulate it. But if you can share it, even in the calling process, that will help. Now, in that process, it will be tested. People go, no, you can't plant a church because you're not really this way. Or, you know what, your life is not like a church planter's life. See, part of that also vets you, because if all of a sudden you say, I want to plant a church, and everybody says, I wouldn't follow you. No way, not you. Maybe it's time to circle back and say, who am I? Am I really called to plant a church? If people feel that way in my friends, my pastor, my acquaintances, that no way would I be able to plant a church, I wouldn't come, that's for sure. If that's the attitude that you get, then you really got to ask yourself, who am I? Lord, change me. Now, there is the prophet is not honored in his own town syndrome, and some church planters have that, where your past was just so not for God, and now you become a believer, and things have changed in your life so much, and most people don't even acknowledge that. Well, you may be not planting a church in that community. Maybe it's someone else, somewhere else. But can you convince one or two of your acquaintances, friends, family, your pastor, that a new life is now being lived by you? If you can't even convince one or two, or if they're not convinced, I should say, you know, you don't want to try to convince them. But you know what I'm trying to get at. If people look at you and they say, no way. Even people who once saw you and they see your transformation into Christ and they don't see enough of that transformation and that they don't affirm you, again, maybe it's time just to prepare for more discipleship and you're not going to be a church planter. Being a church planter is very difficult, and this is where spiritual warfare and a test is first given to you. But you want to make your church calling to plant a church known, and it's a powerful way to set up a later word-of-mouth campaign. So let's talk about the nuts and bolts of that. Understand the importance of getting the word out. According to Andy Cernovich, word-of-mouth marketing, how smart companies get people talking, he's talking about these best practices of word-of-mouth. Now, again, I want to say to all of you, this is from a general audience source. So some of the words and some of the things he says here may not feel like, hey, is this about church planting? And I'll try to translate that into a church planting language. Anyway, he writes, I've been marketing for a long time. In other words, I've been promoting for a long time, but I've never had a marketing budget. Despite that, I have sold a lot of stuff. Any success I have had always has been half creativity and half talking to a lot of people. I didn't know it at the time, but what I was doing then was what we call word-of-mouth marketing, joining in the conversation that people are having every day with other people. Now, to translate that into church planting, it goes like this. As a church planter, you know, we're called to get a plan, we're called to preach sermons, so we got creativity, okay? The other half of it is talking to a lot of people. I've seen church planters have incredible creativity, anointed creativity, compelling messages and programs and ministries. And where I find is that they don't have the budget to market with like mailings and all that, and they're not out there talking to a lot of people. I've even noticed this. I've seen church planters that really their creativity was so-so, but they're talking to a lot of people. And I've seen that those church planters are used by God to make a bigger impact in the community because they're having conversations. But if you can combine creativity and conversations, that is a powerful way to get the word out for a new church plant. Give people, Andy says, a reason to talk. Do you have a story? So, what is word of mouth marketing, Andy says? In this book, I define it as giving people a reason to talk about your stuff and making it easy for that conversation to take place. So, when you think about advertising, a lot of church planters want to raise a large budget for promotions. But you know, we're going to save you all that money. And instead, we're going to help you see how word of mouth is going to be that promotional way that happened in the early church, but will also happen for you. So here's the simple formula. Remember the early church discussion? Engaging story, embodied reality, sharing with others. That's the simple formula. Christianity, engaging story, Christ, dying on the cross, the gospel, rose from the dead. We are now part of this incredible plan for life and in death. Embodied reality is living it. We walk the walk. We embody the story. Sharing with others. Now you tell what God has done for me. Okay, so now, in the end, marketing is pretty easy. If people like you, your stuff, they trust you, they will tell their friends to do business with you. Translate that into church plans. In the end, church planting is pretty easy. If people see you as real, embodied the reality of the gospel story, and you're telling the stories of that transformation and truth, and others are telling them, they will trust you. They will want to hear. And they will tell their friends to check out your new church plant. That's the simple formula. Now, trust is very spreadable. When people trust you, they're willing to put their words on the line for you. Please them, inspire them. They'll bring their friends to you. What are your other options? Bore them. Be forced to spend millions in advertising to get them interested. Annoy them. Watch customers walk away, taking their friends with them. You know, in other words, it's like this. If people trust you, they will be compelled by your narratives, your conversations. You will not need to, in this case, spend a $50,000 a year marketing budget. You will mobilize your troops to spread the word. The remarkable, Andy talks about that. Seth Godin calls it being remarkable in his book, Purple Cow. Remarkable means worth remarking on, worth saying something about. It's the root concept of word-of-mouth marketing. Think about the gospel. It's remarkable. Think about what Christ has done. His work is remarkable. Resurrection is remarkable. Eternal life is remarkable. In a world where people are dying, where sadness is everywhere, we have the best message. It's love. The love of God to us. Our love for others. It's remarkable. That's the core of getting the word out about your church. And when you preach the remarkable. Now, what about the role of the internet? Well, remember, it's only part of it. Only 20% of word of mouth happens online. When it does play a role, it usually sparks the 80% of word of mouth conversations that actually happen face to face. So understand, like with Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, in a lot of ways, how I use all of those internet tools is the discipline by which prompts my word-of-mouth conversations to go forward. I don't depend upon the internet as my form of communication. It's like the bulletin factor. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but I've learned this. People would say, hey, I want to do a ministry. And I say, great. Pastor, can you make sure it gets in the bulletin? Well, talk to the bulletin secretary and it gets in the bulletin. But here's what I have said. You know what? Don't depend on the bulletin. Why? It's in the bulletin. Because the bulletin is only going to be 20% of the word of mouth here. Go out there and talk to people in the church about this ministry. Talk to your friends about this ministry. Then someone's going to show up. I've also had it where people put in the bulletin, hardly anyone shows up or no one shows up, and then they say, this church is dead because I put it in the bulletin and nobody cared about this ministry. But I'll go back and say, have you talked to people about this ministry you're starting? Well, I put it in the bulletin. You know, sometimes I think, let's just drop the bulletin completely. The bulletin has been this sort of excuse that I don't have to talk to my friends for many, many years. So if all of a sudden there was a movement in the church to drop the bulletin, I would be all part of it. The four rules of word-of-mouth marketing. Well, let's talk about them. Be interesting. Is it remarkable? Make it easy. Make people happy. Earn trust and respect. This is according to Andy. And if you think about that in the church, be interesting. Don't be monotone. Don't be boring. Don't have 15 things that you're asking people to do. Be really clear about what you're asking. So even at announcement times, let's say you're making an announcement in church. What you want to do is to say, do this. One thing. We're asking everybody to participate this way. But don't do 15 things. Narrow it down to simple things that people can make their next step. Make people happy. Don't do things, and again, this in some ways, I don't like how that's put, make people happy. You know, that's not going to happen. You know, I like more the biblical thing, is touch the soul. Connect to the spirit. Then what will happen is earn trust and respect. So let's talk about them even in more detail. Be interesting. Before you run an ad, before you launch a product, before you put something new on the menu, ask the magic question, would anyone tell a friend about this? Okay? So whatever you do, is it remarkable? Will somebody tell someone about this? Make it easy. You need to do two things. Find a super simple message and help people share it. Okay, so let's say you are going to have a concert and you want to promote a concert in your community. Okay, What you want to do is to have a very simple promotion of what it is. And then maybe give everybody a card inviting them. And give everybody 5 cards. And then ask everybody, will you pass out your 5 cards? And maybe on each card you have something simple like the phone number of the sharer of the card. So that, hey, I'm going to give you this card. Will you look at it? And I have my number written down. Will you call me to confirm that you're going to come? It's not call the church and tell people that you're going to come. No, it's call me. Because, you know, you've done that. Those individual people out there that you've made it easy for, they're your word of mouth team. So you want it as close as possible to those. Hey, call me. Or call me if you can't come. So if they take a card, hey, I'm going to be there. Well, call me if you can't come because there's limited amounts here. Notice, you want to make it super simple and you want to help people share it. Make people happy. Thrill them. Create an amazing product. Provide excellent service. Go the extra mile. Make the experience remarkable. Fix problems. Make sure the work you do gets people energized, excited, and eager to tell a friend. The point here is don't do something that's just sort of blah. Now, people will say, well, the church isn't supposed to be about about entertainment. I agree with you. But the church is not supposed to be about boring either. We are part of that remarkable message, the resurrection, love, new life, salvation. So if we can't figure out ways to sort of create conversations, come on, we can do better than that. So make people happy is how Andy puts it. But to me, it's compel people to want to hear more about the gospel. Earn trust and respect. Always be an honorable company. Make ethics part of everything you do. Be good to your customers. Talk to them. Fulfill their needs. Now, you know what I have found as church planters, and I did this, and I'm just confessing to you. My first church, there were things in the 1980s where we'd promise we'd have all these programs, even though we didn't have the programs. We'd get people in the door, and the idea was, in the future, we would have these programs. But we sort of lied. We did lie. We said we had these programs. We didn't have these programs. If I were to do that all back, I wouldn't do that canned marketing approach. It was this telemarketing approach we did. We just called these X amount of people. We promised we had these programs when we didn't. Today, I would be much more to always say the truth about what we have and don't exaggerate. And here's the problem with promotions. We can exaggerate. You know, people like me and others can be sellers. We're selling what we don't have. Don't do that. Always promote what it is we do. And if we're a work in progress, you know what? We're a work in progress, so we need helpers. So come on, will you consider helping? Because we have a compelling message. And a lot of people get excited about, hey, I'm needed. I'm going to come. But if you go the other way, we provide you with this. We provide you with that. And then they come and you don't provide them with that. They go like, wow, you set my expectation that you would provide it and you don't. I don't trust you now. Word of mouth is an exciting form of getting the word out about your church. But it starts right with your own calling. It goes into the organization. You have sharers with you, and you make it easy for them to share a compelling message. You earn trust in your community, and in time what happens is God brings that word of mouth, just like he did in the book of Acts, to more and more people.